Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, September 8th. We have just about a week before the recall elections here in California.
Oh, yes.
Did you vote yet?
No, I'm actually not technically a California resident because I don't have my ID.
Oh, wow. Why is that
I'm
taking
working
so long?
On a pandemic.
Oh,
that's
really?
Why. Yeah.
You just don't want to stand in line and stuff?
Or I just haven't really had time to make it to the DMV.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll vote for you. What the hell, you know?
Okay, yeah.
People vote five times,
I don't know.
Too. Yeah.
Agree
people have been getting a lot
things.
Of stuff in the mail and they just send it in, you know? So
yeah.
I don't know if we can trust anything there, but what can I say, you know?
That's fair.
We're trying to, for those of you who don't know, although it's not a secret, but California is voting to recall the governor because apparently a lot of people are not happy with him. So we'll see what happens. You know, I just think that if he wins after all this, he's probably going to get some revenge on a lot of people, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be the ever-continuing shit show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. It's government used to be able to work together, you know. I mean, the founding fathers knew what they were doing when they created checks and balances and separation of powers and all that for the government. But what they didn't take into consideration is people are just going to go, in today's politics, every 4 years you change the party and they undo everything that people did before them and start something else. Then 4 years go by, the next party goes in, they change everything. And it's constant fighting, you know?
So what's actually getting done?
Exactly. Nothing's getting done,
yeah.
Man. Nothing.
So here we are.
Here we are.
2021.
Yeah.
Very divided. Everyone hates each other.
Yeah. Summer's almost over, although you can't tell by looking outside here.
Yeah, we also live in LA, so it's kind of always.
Right. It's always the same, pretty much.
It's always the same, yeah.
But it is September, so soon we're going to expect like brown leaves and rain and stuff. Not here, right?
Yeah, not here. We'll have 2 days of rain and everyone will be really depressed.
Yeah, if
every
that,
drive-thru
you, know?
You go to, you're like, how are you today? They're like, I'm just really sad because it's raining.
Yeah, exactly. And then we have a drought that we don't know what to do about
yeah.
it. And it's terrible, you know?
I mean, the trees are looking pretty good from here.
Yeah,
right.
Well,
right.
You know, I've looked at pictures of dams and rivers and lakes, and the water level is so low, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's just heartbreaking, you know?
I mean, it's severely flooding everywhere. Like, I saw pictures from back home in Philly, and the water from the hurricane was almost up to, like, the overhead bridges.
Right.
Yeah.
Over there, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New York was crazy. People were stranded in different parts of the city.
I know. I saw that, man. Like waterfalls inside the
yeah.
subway tunnels and shit.
Yeah. So
wow.
I definitely got out in time.
Yeah. I know. It's kind of weather where you expect it in the south, but this thing just moved right along the coast, huh?
Yeah.
The coast.
The world's crumbling beneath us.
Probably. Yeah, it feels like
it. I think it's kind of comforting, though.
It sure feels
you know? Like, the apocalypse is happening, and so, like, everything we know as we know it is just, it's just going to be a free-for-all, and then there's going to be no social constructs, no expectations.
Right.
That's just it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's comforting.
It is comforting, in a way.
You know?
In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by a special guest, a surprise guest.
So special.
And we just let them take it in first, you know, before
yeah.
we throw him in the water.
He's a very special boy.
Yeah. So how have you been, Jen?
I'm good. I quit my job.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
I figured you deserve congratulations because you probably did it because you wanted to.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was a long time coming.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just enjoying my life at the moment.
Good
you know,
for you.
It's hard to shake off the feeling that, like, you're going to get a text or an email of somebody needing something from you, you know? So I don't really feel like I don't have a job yet, but
right.
It kind of feels nice.
Do you feel a sense of relief?
Yes. That's been settling in more and more.
Like less weight on your shoulders, huh?
Yeah. Totally.
You were stuck with a lot of responsibilities there.
Yeah, it was a shit show.
It was a shit show indeed.
It was a shit show.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, kudos to you for being able to last there as long as you did.
I know.
How long was it? Like a year?
Almost 2 years.
2 years?
On and off for 2 years. Yeah. Yeah. I have perseverance, I guess you can say.
You have persevered, that's for sure.
To a fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I know. It's a curse to like be taught that you have to like stick to a job and see it through, or like be responsible and be reliable. And like now that I'm an adult, like I'm realizing that like sometimes that responsibility and reliability should apply to myself,
right?
You know, not just to other people or working for other people.
Yeah,
because I mean that serves you in terms of cash, but like how does it serve you in every other aspect?
Yeah,
it doesn't.
I guess it doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we get to our guest, when you were a child, did you watch Blue's Clues?
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see the video?
I did. Yeah. Steve came on and he talked about how he misses everyone and how he's sorry he left so abruptly.
And I know, and everybody said they were crying about it. I'm like, why are you crying about it?
Because it's a, I mean, I didn't
he left
cry
abruptly.
About it. I didn't cry about it, but I saw TikToks about it.
Yeah.
And it's more just like a nostalgia thing. Like,
right.
Man, what's it called? There's a term for it, but everyone right now, especially the millennial generation, has this like weird sense that like not only is like the world collapsing around us, but like we're having this weird sense of like consistent nostalgia that's hitting us all the time.
Right.
And nostalgia comes with a sense of depression that kind of blankets over the millennial generation. And there's like studies about this actually.
Really?
And so like nostalgic things tend to hit really hard. And so Blue's Clues, I guess, was one of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess people could relate to it and everything, but, yeah.
Yeah. People were commenting on the video, like, now I know where my abandonment issues come from.
I mean, this show was for really young kids. It wasn't, you know, I mean,
I was a little old when it came out, but right. I was helping a friend raise a kid at that time. And so I watched it because he watched it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I remember.
I know. I remember all these shows from my kids and everything, you know, all the Nickelodeon shows and things like that. So,
yeah, I remember Steve left the show and like everyone said that he like became a drug addict and was strung out and that's why he left the show. But really he like just went to college.
Yeah.
And then they brought on this like other guy who was like really weird. And then the show shut down very shortly after that.
Yeah.
He didn't last.
They said it was his brother or his cousin or something?
I think he said it was his brother. I don't know if it was his actual brother or he's just saying that for like the sake of the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't the same.
He handed, to his brother Joe, but brother in quotation marks. So
yeah.
It's not really. Yeah, well, okay. So I'll accept that, you know. I'll go along with that.
Yeah.
I have nostalgia too. I don't really cry at things, but, you know.
Yeah.
What do I know?
I get it.
So why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest to us, since you're the one who brought him in and invited him to the show. And I'm very excited to meet him.
Yes.
So who is he?
So this is my sweet, sweet brother and comedian and house flipper and amazing dude, Oren Belinsky.
Oren, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Appreciate it.
Is it spelled O-R-E-N?
O-R-I-N.
I-N.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I just listen? I want to jump in for real quick. When you were talking about the apocalypse and how you're comfortable with it, I am not comfortable with the apocalypse. Okay, because I know. Listen, I have asthma, and I know that as soon as the apocalypse hits, I have until that last inhaler runs out until I'm done, and I have to use that bullet.
Wow!
But then we can raid all the pharmacies.
That's like the first thing that's going to get raided.
Probably.
Yeah, farm
is true.
Yeah, people are going to want to drug up.
Yeah.
I think you'll
but
be
you,
fine.
But you never know how many people are going to be left alive, though, you know,
yeah.
because it's hard to know. I've been watching The Stand, a series on Paramount Plus, and it's based on a Stephen King book that was written back in the 70s. There have been several series made about it, but this one was kind of good, you know. I actually finished it, too, 9 episodes.
Wow. Sam has a tendency to not finish shows.
Right. And so I don't even get into series and things like that, you know, but I got into this one. So in this, they have a pandemic where 97% of the population is wiped out. So you really only have a few people left.
That's great.
And it just shows you the things you deal with.
Yeah, that's great.
But, you know, you obviously you just walk into a store, you take whatever you want, and you leave. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, you don't know what kind of an apocalypse we're going to have.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'd want to stay alive after something like that. You
yeah,
know?
I plan for the worst and hope for the best. And I just hope there's inhalers out there for me.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
yeah, but also, like, our mother has been instilling the fear of the apocalypse in us since we were children.
Really?
Sure, yeah.
So we, all, like, my mom's always had an emergency bag with, like, freeze-dried food and, like, peanut butter and, like, things that won't go bad. And she's always encouraged us to do the same. So we all have emergency stash bags
right.
in our homes with, like, supplies. And we've kind of, like, I mean, you and our sister Jill have definitely done a better job at it than I have with, like, making sure you have everything you need.
I just got a gun. That's it. And I've gone and I have inhalers. That's all I need.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
And my sister has, like, packets of water, like space packets of water and things like that. Yeah, she has a whole kit.
Yeah, she's...
Wow.
She's really set.
But, she's probably going to laugh at us after something happens and she's got all the supplies.
And she's got her bunker.
Yeah, totally.
No, you can't come in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love that.
I love that for her.
Yeah, that's fair.
How many brothers and sisters are you guys?
I'm the baby. No, just three.
Just three.
I'm the baby and then my sister's in the middle and my brother's.
I'm the eldest.
The eldest. Right.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Good.
The youngest gets to learn from everyone, so some could argue that the youngest
is wisest. So you ended up having a couple of sisters. Did you want a brother at all?
You know, when my parents were thinking about having Jennifer, they're like, well, what do you want, a brother or sister? I'm like, I want a brother. And they're like, well...
Maybe next time.
Too
maybe
bad.
Maybe next lifetime. Like, oh man.
Yeah.
And then
I'm kind of close.
Then
to a
Jen
brother.
Popped out, and now I'm happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get a little closer to the mic because you sound kind of far. So you told me you moved to Denver. You guys all grew up in New Jersey, right?
Yeah right outside of Philly.
When did you move to Denver?
I've been there for about 5.5 years.
Oh,
whoa,
cool.
It's been that long?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
What made you move?
Well, I had to get away from all these assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like one of those areas where it's like, okay, everybody out there either wants to fuck you or they want to fuck you out of some money.
Okay, gotcha.
And... Yeah, and it was a little bit of a shock when I got there to Denver. You know, like, people would be on the street like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, what do you want? They're like, what? I'm like, all right, well, you fuck off. They're like, you don't have to be mean about it. I'm like, I think I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You bring your shit with you wherever you go, you know.
It's really nice there. Like the first week I moved to Denver, somebody stole my bike seat, and then they replaced it with a shittier bike seat. I thought that was nice.
Yeah.
In Philly, they would have just, like, beat the shit out of me and taken my bike.
Yeah.
But in Denver, they didn't want to leave me empty-handed.
And you don't realize how much people are assholes until you live away from there and then go back.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Like, you make eye contact with someone, they're like, the fuck do you want? And you're like, I literally looked at you for, like, a half a second. Like, I looked at you in passing.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the only place people are ever really nice are walking in and out of a Wawa.
That's true.
There's a whole article I read about how
people
very
happy.
Hold doors for you. And yeah, Wawa is like the candy land of that part of the country.
Wawa, where is that?
Wawa is a store.
Oh, it's a store.
It's a chain of stores.
It's like a convenience store. Some people would say it's a gas station, but it was not a gas station. It was just a convenience store that turned into a gas station.
Right, like AM, PM, and...
Yes, but it's better.
You can get anything at Wawa, though. Like, really? Anything your heart desires.
Whoa. Sandwiches, cups of meatballs.
Really? We should be getting paid for promoting them right now.
I know, we should.
But I really wish that there was more Wawas out west.
Yeah. I know.
Make everything easier.
Oh, well.
It is. Like, it's a good sandwich spot. Like, late night, you had a few drinks, you're on your way home.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect.
Yeah, Club Wawa.
Go shop.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Club Wawa, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what made you decide on Denver? Had you been there before?
I was there a couple times. I really like outdoorsy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of like, should I go to Chicago and do like the Second City thing? Or should I just say, you know, fuck it. I just want to relax and go to Denver and enjoy my life.
Right.
And I was like, all right, I'm going to go to Denver. I had an opportunity for a good job. And I took it.
Good for you.
And it was great.
That's great. I mean, Colorado is, you know, Jen knows I traveled there. I was telling you before. I took a road trip last year, and all the way, the farthest point was Denver.
Mm.
And I went to Boulder and Colorado Springs. Then I came back through New Mexico and Arizona and stuff. But I enjoyed Colorado so much that I was considering moving there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I saw one study that said that Colorado Springs is the number one place in the country to live as far as, you know, growing and and things like that, you know. So, and that's an hour drive from Denver. It's not too far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But, and then you have Boulder, of course. I was in Boulder only one day, so I didn't really get much of it. But it seemed pretty nice. Yeah, it's
beautiful.
Pretty nice.
It's a beautiful area.
Yeah. So do you go there sometimes to hang out?
I do. I go there. They have some good hiking there, but people are, oh, man, they're very sensitive.
Really?
you know, I'm like, I'm walking, you know, we're in the pandemic, and I'm, okay, I'm going to get some exercise outside, and I'm walking through this trail, and it's like a Monday, so nobody's really on it. I'm not wearing a mask because we're outside, and there's wind, and, you know. And, like, everybody that walks past me is just, like, curled up, like, oh, my God, don't look at me.
Yeah.
They're walking by. I'm like, we're outside.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to get anything. We're outside. It's fresh air. And if you're that scared, like, don't go on a trail. There's going to be other people there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. What are you going to do, you know?
You're not going to do anything. You're just going
to do
whatever.
You're an outdoorsy kind of person. You like hiking. What else do you like to do? Do you ride bikes or things?
Yeah,
like?
I bike a lot. So I have a car, but I try not to drive anywhere unless I'm going into the mountains. So I just I bike and I walk everywhere. You know, getting older, I got to keep my body together. So I just try and keep moving.
That's right.
I just
That's
keep moving.
True. You got to do that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I got to start walking. I really do.
Mm.
You know, so.
Do something. Saying.
Yeah,
anything.
Do something. Anything.
Literally anything.
I know. I'd be riding my bike, but, you know, I fell once, and then I'm kind of scared to get on them again.
Yeah, Sam had a little wild bike accident.
Yeah, on my e-bike. So,
around here?
Yeah.
People tell me that L.A. is not like a biking city. People can't get out and bike around. Is that like a thing?
There are trails, though, so you can find them and stuff, you know. They're not as you don't see as many, but I guess there are, you know. It just depends where you go.
It depends where you live, too. Like, you live in an area where you're working where you live, you can bike to and from work. But most of the time, people are, like, traveling all the way across L.A. and back all the time. So it's not really
for commuting, bike everywhere.
For commuting, it doesn't make sense. You know, you don't want to drive in traffic here. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And as far as trails... you have them by the beach, you know. There's some other places you can go. But it's not as widespread as I see in some other cities, you know, where there are so many trails and parks and you know, open spaces and stuff, you know.
Sure.
So, but, you know, L.A. is big, you know. I mean, you'll always find places to go.
I would bike everywhere here. And if I got hit, great. I get that lump sum.
But that's like Jen was saying, though, everything is far. It's long distances. So I don't know if you would or not, but in your neighborhood, you probably would, you know,
mm-hmm.
Bike and stuff like that.
I love biking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
One thing you guys don't have is water there. You don't have an ocean or anything.
No.
But you have lakes, right?
We have lakes and reservoirs.
Right.
That's like what they consider their beaches. They're like, we have a beach. And I'm like, oh, cool. And they're like, it's also a reservoir. People are going to drink out of this. Like, oh. I'm going to go swimming in that.
Yeah.
I'm just soak. Take a nice soak in there.
Yeah. Ew.
Then you drink the water.
Ew.
Clean, cool, crisp Rocky Mountain water.
Ew.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
I know. It's disgusting. I don't know why they let people do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't drink that.
You have rivers, too, which is cool.
Yeah,
you know?
Colorado River.
Rivers
Colorado
always creep me out.
Yeah.
I had to swim in a river at camp once, and it was just murky and...
Yeah. The Rio Grande also passes there,
mm-hmm.
right? The river.
I don't know.
Because I was in Aspen, and sure enough, it was there, you know. So And that's a high place, too. So it must start, like, up on the mountains and stuff and go down. But, I've seen so many nice places there. I just fell in love with Colorado. So now that you tell me that it's, you know, I was thinking about it. There's not a lot of natural disasters there, you know. So it's, you know, the weather's nice.
You're not really going to get flooding that high up.
We get some fires here and there.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, we get those all the time. So, you know. But maybe that's a good place to move to.
It is. And the thing about Denver is when it's really cold and snowy there, it's like warm during the day.
Because
you're so close to the sun
that
you're never really that cold.
Right.
It's not like New York where you're like walking on ice cold cement.
It's like
your
bone cold over there.
Yeah. And your like shoes are frozen. Like, so you're just like, blah, 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 like the whole
freezing.
Time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if I'd move necessarily to Denver because I want to try and get away from the big city. You know, I've always lived in big cities. So I would look for something smaller, you know.
Sure,
maybe Colorado Springs or Boulder or something. Mm-hmm. But Boulder's pretty expensive, right?
Very expensive, yeah.
Like real estate and things like that.
Yeah, there's like a little shack and they're like, man, that's such a piece of shit. They're like, that's $5 million.
Wow.
$5 million piece of shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty much the way it is here, man.
Yeah.
We passed by certain houses that were like so beat up and run down.
Yeah, I'm like, why don't they do some, like that house probably costs like $10 million. They should put some siding on that, make it look nice.
Yeah, right. We were driving on the PCH.
What is going on here?
In Pacific Palisades. Uh-huh. And there was like a beachfront house that was like totally run down, and I figured they probably like bought it back in the day when it didn't cost so much.
Right.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, they probably bought it when it was only like $5 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what? That's not an excuse not to get that house fixed up.
Yeah.
No, it's a location, obviously. You pay all for the location, you know.
Sure.
We went to a restaurant in Malibu, Joffrey's. And have you ever been there?
No, but I've heard of that place.
Yeah, it's very nice, but it's very expensive, too.
Sure.
But, you know, once in a while you go there and shit, you know, whatever. You're paying for the location, you know? I mean, it doesn't get much more expensive than Malibu, you know?
Yeah, it's very true.
So,
Malibu's beautiful,
many,
though.
Many of the houses there are shit, you know? You can see right from PCH. They're garbage, but...
And all the fires happened there, too.
Yeah. Like, fires there? Really?
Yeah, remember a few years ago when they had that huge fire? Like, a bunch of houses in Malibu burnt down.
Mm. I think it started in Palisades, though, didn't it? Like, on the hills?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Whatever.
Yeah, oh, well.
We get them everywhere.
Yeah. But I also wanted you to talk about your comedy show that you do and, like, how it started and how it's doing and...
Oh, okay. So you're a comedian too? You're a comic?
Yeah.
Really? Stand up and...
Stand up. I started doing sketch. Didn't work out that well. Well, uh-huh. I didn't really try that hard at it.
That's fair.
Yeah. So I started doing stand up. And, I've run some shows over the years. I was working at... I work at this place, the Irish Rover in Denver, Colorado. And I was working Monday nights. I bartend there.
Mm.
And I'm like, this fucking sucks. I need to do something here. I'm like... You know, I was like the owner. I was like, can we do like karaoke? How about a comedy show? He's like, fuck no, we're not doing any of that.
Right.
And then like after I bugged him and like for like 6 months, he finally let me put a show together there. And I used to do online marketing a lot. So I've experienced doing that and I promoted it mostly online marketing. And, you know, I have a friend of mine who helped me like put some flyers together. And it eventually got so busy there on a Monday night open mic,
right,
that they made me stop bartending there. And they're like, you can't do both of these. We don't care. You have to just do the comedy show. And I'm like, okay, I guess I will take a pay cut to do the comedy show, but I love doing it. And it's fun.
Yeah.
And you know, I get to see a lot of comics through the years. They come in and they fucking suck so bad.
Yeah.
And then, but after they continue to come in and work on stuff, now I'm like, man, those guys are great. I can't wait to see what they have today.
Yeah.
And now it's like one of the busiest shows in the city.
Really?
On a Monday, yeah.
But there's not a lot of money in it, right?
I mean, not for me.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. I mean, compared to the bartending.
I mean, yeah, the bartending, you know, the bartenders probably make a ton of cash.
Right.
And the owner probably makes good money from it. But,
right,
you know, I get to do something on my day off that's fun.
Right.
And
that's true.
That's, you know, in the business that you like.
Yeah. And, you know, living in Denver, coming from New Jersey, Philly area, like, you know, I kind of learned, you know, maybe if you don't, maybe enjoy your life a little bit and don't work 80 hours a week doing stuff.
Right.
So yeah, I'm learning to like kind of relax and okay, I'm not going to make some money tonight, but.
But you enjoy yourself.
I enjoy myself. And right. They let me drink.
And you still and have a day job, right?
I mean, yeah.
You still do the bartending.
I do bartending on the weekends and I've been getting into real estate the last few years.
Nice.
Which has been working out really well.
Yeah. What did you say? You flip houses?
It's not exactly flipping. I just kind of buy houses and I turn them into rental properties.
Ah.
I did try and flip a house last year during the pandemic. It didn't work out that well.
Yeah.
I mean, it worked out great because now I live in that, but I wasn't able to resell it.
Wow.
There was like.
Because real estate right now is like on fire, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's always kind of on. There was like a. Real estate's always going to go up, I feel. It's like the most solid investment you can do.
Right.
Where, you know, other than, you know, if you have a bunch of money in stocks and bonds and, you know, annuities, that kind of thing, you can lose everything.
Right.
But if you have real estate, at least if the shit hits the fan, you have somewhere to live.
Right.
And that's how true. I always think about it. It's like, well, you still have something you can hold on to.
Right. Hmm.
Yeah, and you have a few properties at this point, so.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I could get into real estate, you know, but I don't know shit about it, but I could
He's
learn.
He's a great person to talk to
about
it. Yeah,
I could learn, right?
Yeah, I worked in real estate finance for a while until 2008 crash, and I was licensed as a realtor. Never did it, though. It was like my backup plan.
Yeah.
And I've just been focusing on it for the last, you know, 10 years or so, just watching things and calculating. If you have a good plan, then there's not much that can go wrong.
That's true.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how are housing prices in Denver? Are they pretty high?
So when I first moved there, everyone's like, man, this neighborhood's going crazy. And, you know, maybe like a 4-bedroom house in the nice, I guess the up and coming areas there were maybe like $400,000. I'm like, I can get that if I just was here for 6 months. I can get that property, and now that same property is like $2 million.
Oh my god!
And
wow.
That's 5 years later. So now it's like all I can get is condos.
Yeah, I know.
Fuck.
Yeah, I mean it's something.
Yeah, I mean I'm working on getting maybe a multi-unit or something.
Yeah,
a good thing. A lot of people.
But those are very pricey. I mean, my god.
Well,
you know.
You have to look at it like, okay, so I want to get into this and I don't want to spend a lot of money per month and I want to get fucked on it. So, you know, you might see like a 3-unit house, but the mortgage company is going to use the income that you get from the other 2 units
to help pay
your mortgage. So, you know, your mortgage could be $4,500 a month, but after you have somebody paying you $1,500 for 1 unit and $2,000 for the other, now you're paying $500 a month,
right,
plus expenses, which is like water and whatever,
right,
utilities,
which is great. That's the best
but,
you're gonna pay.
Yeah, if you're paying $500 a month to live at a house, like your own house, and everybody else is paying into that savings account that you have, you know,
right. But how much you'd have to come up with a lot of cash for something like that, right?
So there's FHA loans, which is like it's almost like a government-backed loan,
right?
That you could use. That's 3.5% down. If you were ever in the military and you can get the VA loan. That's like the best loan you can get. That's 0%. You don't have to put any money down. Wow. It's like $500 out of pocket.
Yeah.
What?
And there's some banks out there that are starting to do 100% financing now. And a lot of their stipulations are just like, listen, you have to have $500 of your own money out of pocket and you can somehow work it out. Maybe where the seller pays the closing costs.
Right.
And then you can have a house and you don't have to put
for
anything
$500
down.
Bucks.
For five. That's how I got my first house. The first house I bought, I did 0% down. Right. 0% down. I had them pay the closing costs. I came to the table with $500 and then they gave me $1,000 back in cash. So they paid me $500 for the house.
Wow.
And I still have that.
That's
house
the
now.
Philly place.
That's the Philly place.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet, that place.
Yeah.
So what does it take to get an FHA loan?
I think you need like 580 plus credit.
Right.
And, you know, some of the guidelines might have changed in the last 10 years, probably.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm guessing they're about the same. You know, they take credit in consideration, but not as much. Like, if you have terrible credit, they're not going to get you on the interest rate as much as they would on a conventional loan that you would normally get with 20% down, but you only need 3.5% down.
Right. And do they only do it for just one house or?
I think you can only have one house at a time. So you can, a good plan would be to get that property, wait until you have enough equity, refinance so you can get rid of the mortgage insurance that's on it. And then your payment's going to go down. Mm. And then you can get another FHA loan for another property, but it has to be your primary residence.
Right, exactly.
It's a good way to get a multi-unit house.
So once you refinance, then that kind of cancels the thing out so you can go.
You can go and do another one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So good.
We need to explore all these options,
I know. I mean, brain dead.
As a bartender, I'm like, well, you know, I bartend because I enjoy it and I can talk to people and all that good stuff, but there's not much of a retirement plan. So real estate's a really good thing to get into. As I tell a lot of people I work with, like, get into real estate, man, because, you know, if shit hits the fan or you don't want to work at the bar anymore, you have like nothing saved up.
Right.
They're like, all right, cool, I'm going to invest in cryptocurrency instead. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, and lose your fucking pants.
It's like,
I did
my best.
Yeah.
That's the thing with real estate. Like, it's always needed and it's always going to be a source of money.
Yeah, people are always afraid to get it because it's a huge investment. And they're like, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? And it's like,
well,
all that stuff
goes down. You know, I mean, look, I had the chance to buy my parents' house when my mom passed away a couple of years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And this happened right as a pandemic was starting. And I thought, what am I going to do? I'm going to invest in money now, and the market's going to crash because of the real estate market's probably going to crash. The economy is going to crash because of this pandemic. We don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Right.
And I stayed out of it. Now the house is worth more, and I can't really afford it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's unbelievable, man, what has happened, that the real estate is so hot right now. With a pandemic, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you rent a house, yeah?
Yeah, I'm renting a house. Wasting my money.
So many people out here rent houses.
Yeah.
It's a really popular thing.
Yeah. Because it's hard to afford a house, you know?
Yeah.
To buy one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, today, I don't think that in L.A. County, except maybe for really shitty areas, but like here in the Valley is considered less expensive than in the city, like where you are, or in Hollywood or Beverly Hills or all the other places, right? And still here, I don't think today you can get a house for less than $700,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how it is in Denver right now, too.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be pretty.
No.
Yeah. And I was looking at some of them, like the HOA fee for like condos, it's like $800 a month.
Yeah.
What am I paying? Whose slush fund is this that I have to pay for? What are you guys doing?
And that's why condos, I'm not crazy about them, but you know, but you can get them for half the price of a house, you know.
Yeah,
so.
And also you're still investing.
Right, and you can rent it out and everything, you know, but then you can see what happens when you rent out things. Then the government comes and says they don't have to pay rent, and you're stuck with a fucking property for 2 years with nobody paying you rent.
Yeah, you got to vet
because
people.
Of the pandemic, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, only now I think they let it lapse, and now people have to to actually pay rent or move out.
Yeah, I mean, luckily I was not affected by that. My tenants paid, you know, they continue to pay.
Good
but,
for you.
Awesome. I'm working right now on a beach house, and I'm just going to turn it into a vacation rental and just do Airbnb.
Wow.
Because you can make way more money from that right. than the short term. And if you get somebody that, you know, is filtering people out, you know, making sure that they're, you know, their profiles are filled out and making sure that, you know, they're crossing all their T's, dotting all their I's, and, you know, doing maybe a background check or credit check or whatever. And you're like, all right, well, you know, they can come in and, like, you know, vacation here. I don't know what checks and balances they do, but I had somebody that manage it for me before, and they did a great job. I think one person spilled wine on the couch, and, like, that's it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's
that's pretty
better
good.
Than letting
that's the
anyone
worst
in there.
That happens.
Yeah, I mean, I know some people that do Airbnb, and they, you know, they'll let anybody in there, and then, you know, people are in there smoking and putting cigarette butts out on the walls, and it's like, I don't want that. It's not worth the money.
That's rough.
But that's a good way to, you know, turn part of your property into, you know, really good income.
Right.
If you get a duplex or a triplex or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what the laws are around here, though.
Not the place that you live in, though. I mean, I don't understand people that put their home on Airbnb. I mean, it's your private place. You know, once people are in there, I'm going to have to disinfect everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
And you don't know what they're going to do to you. But
and
you got to
make
house.
Sure you have a place to put all your, like, certain belongings.
Exactly.
Because they're going
to
use your stuff.
Yeah.
And
you know?
And your personal
That's
place.
Why I would never do it, you know? But when you have rental properties, like you said, it's for investment.
Mm-hmm.
You don't care, you know? I mean,
no, and you can go stay there, and it's like you're taking the same chance those people are that, you know, somebody didn't, you know, come all over the drapes or whatever.
Right.
Like, hopefully.
Yeah.
I guess people do that if you bring it up.
People do whatever.
I mean, if you've ever seen those shows that where they bring the black lights into the hotel rooms, it's like on the ceiling.
I know.
It's everywhere.
Everywhere.
What the hell are they doing?
I don't know.
Like filling up squirt guns?
Man.
Yeah. I mean, I know a comedian that openly said on Instagram or TikTok or something that he, when he stays at hotels, he literally does it into the carpet. I was like, oh.
Oh, my God. Imagine how many people probably do.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, even just for the sake of it, they're just like, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Spread my seat.
Sit on cloth couches and shit. I mean, I put towels on them, you know, and everything.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Get a rubber suit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I want a rubber suit for everything.
Yeah, for everything.
Dude, when the pandemic first came out, I had the woman I was staying with, I had her buy me like a full one of those like hazmat suits. But when we got to Costco, they ran out of them, and all they had left were like rain suits. But it was like overalls, like big yellow overalls.
Oh my God.
And like a matching jacket.
And you walk around in that?
I did. I walked around in that.
Oh my God.
It was pretty epic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gotta see that.
Yeah. What does your sister do for a living?
She works in big pharma now.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, she does that, and she also is managing the reconstruction of her property. She got into this, so
oh yeah, this is a great story.
She bought a house in Philadelphia, this Fishtown area, and the property next to her went up for sale. I tried to buy it, and it didn't work out. Somebody else got it, and so are you familiar with what a row home is?
No,
row homes are houses that are basically connected by what they call party wall, which is like a couple of bricks, and it's like a block of houses connected.
Oh.
And normally when you go and renovate a house like that, you gut it, so you take everything out but the bones, like the, you know, all the insides, and then you rebuild it. But the people that went and did that, they didn't do that. What they did was they knocked the whole place down, which you're not supposed to do because you have shared walls, and
it was like plucking a tooth out of a mouth.
Yeah,
like it was a completely empty hole.
Yeah, and then in the process, her house had holes in the side of that from them tearing the house down, which is ridiculous. And somehow they got away with it, and she's like in lawsuits for the last 3 years, living with my mom while her house is getting reconstructed.
Right.
Philly's so corrupt that like they would not allow her to like rebuild the house, and they're not letting her like getting anything back from it. And Long story short, she's been living at my mom's house trying to get her house rebuilt for 3 years.
Yeah,
she came home one day with like a sign on her door that said, like, you have to vacate immediately. It's been deemed unsafe to live in by the city of Philadelphia. Right. And so she basically had to go in, pack a bag, and leave. And she's not been back in her apartment since. And because of all the holes in the wall, her house went untouched for like a year. Like, no construction was done for a year.
Right.
The holes weren't covered, nothing. So it rains a lot there. So when she did go back in, everything was covered in black mold, like everything. Jeez. So she had to pretty much get rid of all of her stuff. And she had just moved in like less than a year earlier or so. So she had a brand new bed, new couches, like just new furniture, clothing, whatever. So everything was like a complete.
Well, a lot of that furniture was mine.
Well, that too. Yeah.
And she just, there's a lot of stuff that was mine. She's just like, I didn't want to touch it, so it's gone. I'm like, that was like a bunch of my stuff. That I left there when I moved to Denver.
Yeah, so it was a great loss.
Yeah, sucks.
Yeah, totally. But she's just now finally starting to order parts. She just texted me yesterday that she just ordered stuff for her bathroom. So, yeah,
that's considered like worst case scenario if you own a property.
Right,
it just gets destroyed and there's nothing you could do, and the government's just like, "Fuck you!" Like, yeah, they tore your house down, and
yeah. And that's it. Now you're
that's
stuck
it.
With it.
Yeah, now you're it, yeah. Now you're stuck. Go figure it out, stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go figure it out, stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was definitely a mess.
Wow. Did you go to college?
I went to Rutgers in New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Studied marketing.
Uh-huh.
Paid for the whole thing. I got a golf scholarship. But
do you play golf?
Our little secret here between the three of us, I don't play golf. I went through one of those books and I just kind of filled out a bunch of essays, filled out like 100 essays, and I got the golf scholarship part
of
it. Wow,
good for you, man.
Yeah, thanks.
If you can do it, why not?
Why not?
I mean, shit.
Yeah, they'd do it to me if they could. Yeah.
What if they were like, in order to get this scholarship, you have to come and like hit a perfect ball?
I would have tried, but they didn't. They're just like, here's your money. Have fun playing golf for Rutgers. And like, I was like, all right. And I just never did. I just worked full time.
Good for
That's
you.
That's pretty
man.
Epic, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. My total student loans out of there after everything said and done was like $15,000.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I really took advantage of the system.
Yeah, you sure did.
Yeah, don't tell anyone.
I hope they don't hear this.
Yeah.
It's too late.
Like, that fucking guy, I knew it. He didn't play golf.
You'll just get like a bill from Rutgers next week.
Yeah. I'm like, all right. Wrong guy.
It wasn't me.
It was different Oren.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but it was tough getting, you know, when I graduated, it was really tough getting a job. So, you know, I got a temp job for like 14 years at a strip club. And
14 years.
Worked at a strip club for 14 years after college.
Wow. Were you a stripper?
No. I did work up and down, which they had like a men's gentleman's club above. No, below was the gentleman's club, and it was like the male review is up top. So I kind of bounced back and forth, bartending and bouncing and stuff.
That's a long time to work anywhere.
Yeah, it was fun, and they just made it really easy for me to stay. They were just like, listen, like, enforce the no penetration rule, and then, you know, wipe those couches down when you're done.
Oh, great.
And I'm like, all right.
What a glamorous job.
It was very glamorous.
But there's money in it.
There was money in it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and then they let you host comedy shows there, too.
I hosted I put together some comedy shows there, and then somebody else did, and I worked and performed there once in a while as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a great home base.
It was a nice home base.
Yeah, everyone was always really nice there.
Hmm. Yeah. What was it called?
It was called Club Risque.
Club Risque?
Yeah.
And that was in Philadelphia?
That was in Philadelphia.
And then my sister and I worked down the block at Club Onyx.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
right. Which
was
another strip club.
Yeah, that's right. You told me about that.
Yeah. Hmm. Yes.
So it's in the family.
It's in the family.
Yeah, we just do whatever we can to make money. We're just like not afraid to get into something, whether, you know, no matter how disappointed your friends and family are, just get in there. We're like, we're going to do what we have to do. And
exactly. Make decent money. I mean, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
You're already working.
We were talking about it on our drive here that like a lot of people in my generation especially don't want to work jobs that they don't want to work.
Right.
And like I get that you want to do the thing you want to do, but I think it's also really important to learn what it's like to work a job that you don't want to work. I think
it's really important, you know, because usually, it's a luxury to be able to find something that you love to do.
Right. And you'll never respect that luxury if you don't work jobs that you don't
Right. You know, and they don't come around all the time, you know.
No.
And you have to, that's one thing about, you know, people. It's like they don't want to work at things that they don't get pleasure out of. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that find something else in your life that satisfies you.
Get a hobby.
Exactly. But you got to make a living, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's really good to create that kind of backbone, you know. You need to know what it's like to work and to do what you need to do to make ends meet, you know.
Yeah, even if you don't want to do it.
Exactly.
Right.
And that strip club thing worked out good because, you know, I ended up starting like a dildo, online dildo website. And I was they let me sell stuff there, which was great.
Uh-huh.
I didn't become a dildonaire out of it, but, you know, I ended up learning a lot from e-commerce.
Right.
And I could run an e-commerce site and, you know, promote my comedy shows with what I learned.
Right.
Worked out real good.
Yeah, yeah.
Has running anything like that or working in a strip club, has any of that
tainted
ever
me?
Tainted in the eyes of getting another job?
Yes. So I did really good at marketing with the dildo company. Like, if you went onto Google and you searched big dildos or something like that, I was like number three without even advertising. It was just organic search results. And, you know, sex toys, I was on the first page. And sex toy, there's all these keywords, I was on the first page. But after I sold the company, and I'm like, all right, I want to go on and, like, get a job doing this. Everyone's like, well, what's your experience? I'm like, well, I did. Right. And I'm listing all these, like, keywords and stuff. And they're like, yeah, you're just not right for this. Nobody wants to deal with anybody that has been in the sex industry because they feel like it's like it taints their brand, which I get. But also, like, the internet's around because of porn and that kind of stuff.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, you're going in with them. It doesn't matter what you did before, as long as you know the marketing part of it.
As long as you know what to do. They can just be like, just leave that off my resume.
Yeah, I mean, why should that affect them at all? You know, if you, you know, what matters is that if you can promote their own product, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, business is business.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, long story short, it was like, it's hard to find a job when you list anything in the sex business. Unless you're going for another job in the sex business.
Right. Yeah, I know.
That's so interesting.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of it going on around here, you know, because this is like the porn capital of the world right here in this valley, San Fernando Valley. And there's a lot going on, you know. I mean, and there's people that you meet that you'd never believe in a million years are in the sex industry, but they are, and they make a lot of money, you know.
Yeah,
but they're not having sex; they're just maybe producing movies or something,
or doing marketing,
selling, or you know, selling novelties and shit like that, you know. So,
I mean, it's a business that it will always be in business.
Yeah, you know, it's always gonna you're always going to make money at it. And, I mean, it's going to taint, you know, some of the things that you do, but
I think it shows initiative that I would go out and work somewhere that maybe I did or didn't want to work because it's a sex industry, you know.
But they don't think like that. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, they don't think like that. Oh, well, we're just about out of time. Oren Belinsky, tell us how people can find you. Do you have a comedian Instagram page or something?
My fan page is facebook.com/ comedy shows.
Okay.
My Instagram is OrenBEE. And I have a YouTube page is youtube.com/ usetube. YouseTube.
Okay. And that's for the comedy and stuff too?
Yeah, there's some videos up there, some funny videos. It's not really crazy. It's just, you know, that's just what I have right now.
He's also a big cat guy, so you can follow his cat on there too.
My cat's on Instagram at @ProfessorPickles_MrBaby.
Hmm. So the cat's running your family kind of thing?
Kind of.
We all grew up very allergic to cats, and then, like, I think you like got a test done that said you weren't allergic, and then you went and immediately bought pickle.
Yeah, and I got pickles. Now I take allergy shots, and I'm good. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Ready for anything.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Enjoy your trip. How much longer are you staying?
I'm going to leave probably in a couple hours. I'm going to go to the grocery store, get some supplies, and then hit the road.
And drive straight through?
Straight through.
Why don't you take your time and stop off in some places?
I got to work tomorrow. I'm moving. I'm moving into a new house. I see.
The Belinskys don't know how to take our time.
Really?
Yeah, everything's a business transaction with us. Wow. Man. We can't enjoy anything.
I couldn't make such a drive without stopping. I mean, my God.
I mean, there's a place in Las Vegas that has like 90 urinals. I'm going to stop there. Uh-huh. That's exciting. $5 a gallon gas.
Uh-huh.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, gas is pricey here.
$5 gas, 90 urinals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, And what's gas prices like in Denver?
Denver, they're still in they're high twos, low threes.
Really? See, that's unbelievable.
It's like half the price.
Yeah.
In New Jersey, New Jersey has like the cheapest gas, and they do it for you.
Yeah, they pump it for you.
They pump all the gas for you.
It's great.
How do they get away with that?
I don't know.
I don't know how they do. But here, it's taxes. It's all about taxes, you know. Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having
me, Oren.
I'm sure you guys had fun together here. Yeah, how long were you here for?
What did I get here on?
Sunday evening.
Sunday Eve.
Oh, I see. So it's only a few days.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard to get away when you work and stuff.
Yeah, just in and out. I think next time I'll fly and just I'll stay longer and do more stuff. I just wanted to get away and see Jennifer.
Yeah, good for you.
See what she's doing out here.
Well, congratulations on being able to get together and everything.
Thanks.
Jen, thank you.
Thank you, as always.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you soon.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.